Welcome back to Christian Leaders Institute. I'm John Kenny, and we are talking about the most exciting and glamorous topic you could ever imagine. We're talking about structure and organizational charts today. I say that sarcastically, how riveting this subject is. And yet, I will say this. It is so critically important. It is so important that our ministries, our churches, are structured in a way that really promotes and enhances ministry. Because your structure of your organization, it's either helping you get to where you want to go, or it's hindering you and it's preventing you from where you want to go. So there's a lot of good stuff here, so let's pray, let's get into it. We'll talk about organizational structure. Lord, thank you so much for this day. And God, you are a God of order. And we ask that in this lecture that you might speak to us and reveal to us some things that would be very helpful and needed to help us, Lord, fulfill our mission and to reach our vision, the vision you've given to us for your honor and your glory. Amen. Okay, so when we talk about organization, again, I think it almost has like a bad connotation to us, because maybe we think of like the government and like, or like big corporations and all the red tape, and it can seem that organization and structures are very prohibitive, and there's lots of red tape, and there's this. It takes forever to kind of get something done, and it's needless. And I've worked with different people in ministry, and not to single a group out, but I've worked with a number of church planters, and that's kind of like they hate all the structure and organization, and like, let's just do ministry, let's just do stuff. But I've also seen people who are just so tied into, and as long as they love organization and structure, and as long as things are structured well, they don't even care if like if any ministry is getting done. So we want to be somewhere in the middle of that. We just don't want to say like we have a pretty organizational chart, because that doesn't mean we're doing church health, we're reaching church health and doing good ministry. But at the same time, we don't want to just say, well, we don't need it. It's just going to slow us down. It gets in the way. This is a dry, boring, dull kind of a thing. And I'd like to start by saying that organization and structure, it does not mean the opposite of life. Again, like, oh, it's bureaucracy and red tape and, who wants to deal with committees and, you know, meetings, and we hate all that kind of stuff. Now, certainly it can be, but I would say that's because that would be in organizations that aren't structured well. In fact, I think that organizations that are structured well, the structure actually provides a lot of life. It helps it be healthy. It supports it. It encourages it. And in fact, that a good structure to any organization can actually be the thing that maximizes its effectiveness. It makes it very efficient. It makes it be very powerful, very strong. And it's able to do what others of a similar size cannot. So let's talk about just organization and structure. Because I think there's some really good illustrations we have from life that tell us why it's important. So let's think of the human body, right? Are our bodies organized? You better believe it. They're highly organized. Now, I have a skeletal structure like you, bones that form and give me shape. So I can get up and stand up and reach and walk and move around. I have interior support, and I've got a structure here of my ribs that protects all these vital organs inside. We have a vascular system, so the blood, we have systems of arteries and veins and capillaries that run all through our bodies that deliver blood and oxygen and throughout our whole being. And it's very, very important that we get, blood is moving through our whole system. And We have our cardio system, which is where, you know, we're breathing, we're taking in oxygen out of the air, and it goes into our lungs, and then it's exchanged into our blood, and I mean, all that sort of stuff. And we've got a nervous system. It starts with our brain, and we've got nerves that run through our whole body, that go down our spinal cord, that control the words I'm saying, my finger motions, you know, blinking my eyes, wiggling in my seat. And these are very, very highly organized systems, right? We are not just a lump of cells, just, you know, with no bones and muscles all over the place and nothing connected or tied together. The human body is a highly complex, highly, highly organized system, right? So aren't you glad you're organized that way, right? Rather than just being a blob of, you know, human cells and DNA that just, you know, 150-pound pile just laying on the floor that you can't do anything and can't go anywhere. All right? Well, it's not just our body. Let's think of an organization. Let's think of a school. Let's think of a school that wants to teach children. So when we think of a school, we would say, well, it's not just a bunch of kids who just randomly show up and nobody knows what's going on. You have a principal who's in charge of the school. You have teachers who are assigned a certain number of students, and there's classrooms where those students meet, and the classrooms are divided by age, and each classroom has its own books that are specific for this, and you know, so we think of just like a school system, and then the day is ordered very specifically, that we have times of study, we have a lunch time, we go to art, we do math, we do science, we follow an order. So we can see that how effective it is for a school to be well organized, right? You just don't have 200 kids just show up and nobody knows where they go, what to do with them, how to teach them. We don't know. There's a pile of books somewhere around here. I don't know. They can grab one. I don't know. You know, we don't do it that way because we want schools to be effective. We want schools to be efficient. It's the same thing with churches, right? I mean, we want to be organized and functioning in a way that we get the most out of what we're trying to do. You know, we can have lots of energy, but if we're not very organized, we're not going to go very far, right? We don't want to just be this blob of, well, we've got all the right pieces, we have all the right parts, but we're kind of just a blob and going nowhere. We want to be effective. We want to be doing things. We want to maximize what God has called us to do. And so when we talk about structure and kind of maximizing it, I want to bring you back to this image we've had a number of times over this class, which is the vitality paradigm. And if you recall, it starts with the roots of a tree, the image of a tree, and it is spiritual disciplines. It's the word of the gospel that nourishes the soul. I mean, worship, prayer, all those kind of disciplines that nourish us. And then that's the beginning, and the end is then there's fruit. There's statistical growth. There's numerical growth. There's all kinds of, you know, transformation being made in Christ and all those kind of things. That's the fruit. But there's this middle piece, the trunk, which is functional effectiveness, that somehow it's organized in a way, right? Just like the tree, there's roots, there's a trunk, and there's branches, and there's leaves, and there's flowers, and there's fruit. And, you know, it's a highly organized system. And within the trunk, you know, there's the phylum, phloem and xylem. You know, the leaves are processing chlorophyll and making, you know, all the nutrients and stuff. I mean, it's a highly complex system. So we want to be able to have that trunk in here, this effective structure that really can support what we're trying to do, right? We need to have structure that we need to be organized in a way that's going to help us get there. So let me ask a question that I ask with vision. when we talk about organizational charts and structure and all that, is it biblical? Well, let's think about this. The story of creation, is that an organized, structured account? Obviously it is. I mean, it's you know, it goes from a formless void to form, a highly organized form. The way that the earth was created and then how it was filled and how the universe is set up in a way, and the moon and the stars and the seasons we have, it's an incredibly organized account. So God is very orderly. God is very organized. We see that certainly throughout creation. We also see it in Israel. As this nation is growing and developing, they're divided into tribes. It's not just one people. There are 12 tribes. And each tribe, when they get into the promised land, it's like, okay, you go here, you go here, you go here, you do this, you do that. Like, we can also think of within one of those tribes, like the Levites, the Levitical order, the people who were the priests. They were very organized. They had really detailed responsibilities depending on the tribe, and I mean the clans they were in and the families that they were a part of. We already talked a number of lectures ago about Nehemiah when he visits Jerusalem after coming back from Babylon, and he goes around the city and he figures out what needs to be done and the plan of attack and how they'll rebuild it and who's going to do what and where they're going to do it. And it isn't just people just show up and just, okay, let's do it. Like, we have these wonderful examples in Scripture of very organized, very good structure to make things happen. Certainly, I think a great example from the Old Testament is with Moses and Jethro. If you recall, Moses was like the judge, and he had a line of like hundreds of people, and nobody was getting their case heard, and Moses was worn out, and the people were getting frustrated, and his father-in-law Jethro comes in and goes, oh no, you're doing about this all wrong. You need to have better structure. You need to get organized. You need to appoint judges, and each tribe will go to this, and the families can handle it this way, and if they can't handle it, then they can come to you, and it solved the problem. The problem Moses was having early on was there was no structure. Jethro comes in, they have structure. Everybody's happy. And then also, don't we see this in the New Testament in Acts 6, where the apostles are getting complaints about the feeding program, the feeding distribution program for the widows, and that the Greek Jews were not getting fed, only the Hebrew Jew, the Greek Jew widows were not getting fed, only the Hebrew widows were getting fed. And so the apostles gather together and they say we shouldn't give up the prayer and the word, but we need to feed this. So they come up with this plan. We will find men who are full of the Holy Spirit and full of wisdom, and we'll appoint them over this. And then so they come up with structure, because they needed to be efficient in preaching the gospel, but they only needed to be efficient and effective in distributing food. So they okay, we need to reorganize differently. We need to add people here. We need to focus on this. They need to focus on that. So the idea I'm really trying to get at here is organizing is biblical. Like, God is a God of order, and His church is to be ordered, right? Like, God is not a God of chaos. He's a God of order. And so if we want ministry to be effective, there has to be a good order about it. So my goal for you is that you will have, and you can develop a structure that will effectively drive the vision in order to fulfill your mission. Okay? So you know what your vision is. We talked about that. You've discerned that. You know where you're going. You know what the mission, you know, the vision is going to help you uniquely fulfill God's mission. Okay? And so you know that. And so the idea is then build a structure that will help you accomplish that and achieve that end. So when I talk about structure, I'm really just talking about committees or teams, whatever you want to call them, you know, kind of your organizational chart. How do they relate to each other? Who's doing what? Who's accountable to who? Where are the lines of responsibility and authority drawn? Who's tasked to what, you know, areas? Those kind of things. You know, how do we do what we're going to do, right? So, as I said at the very beginning, structure can either help you really be effective in doing what you want to do, or it can really hurt you. If you're not set up well for what you want to do, it can really slow you down. So let's say you have a vision about reaching your community with the gospel, but there's no place in your organizational chart or your structure, there's no place now where anybody is specifically tasked to do evangelism, and there's no group over it. There's no group who's supervising it, or there's no leader for it. Well, you could have the greatest vision in the world, but if you're not structured for it, like, it's never going to happen. It's like a company that is, a company that sells, flash drives. Okay, you've got a company that makes hardware, and they're going to sell flash drives, but they don't have any sales department. They just make them. There's nobody though who's in charge of selling them. How well organized is that company? Terribly, right? Because they need people who are going to end up like going out and selling these. They need people who are going to market these and sell them online and sell them in computer stores and, you know, all those kind of things. So we need to be thinking kind of in those terms, like, okay, if we have a mission and we have a vision, do we have all the pieces in place and in the right place to help us do that, right? Okay. So my question is this. Think about this for a minute, and you can kind of put me on pause here after I ask the question. I want you to think about it. Do you have the structure right now in place to accomplish what God is calling you to do? Do you have the structure right now in place to accomplish, to do what God has called you to do? I'm going to take a wild stab here, give you a minute to think about it. Again, you can put me on pause, put me back on when you're ready. My guess is, I'm going to say for almost everybody, the answer is no. I don't think so. Because whatever results you're getting in ministry, they are the byproduct of the structure you have in place. So you're getting the exact results that your structure is designed to give. It's not like you have this great structure in place and it's giving not so good results. In the same way, it's not like a church that has terrible organization and terrible structure and yet is getting these fantastic things. You know, however we build the system, the organization of our church or ministry, that's you're getting exactly what you're structured for. Okay? So, let me tell you about my journey with kind of restructuring and figuring all this out. When I first got to the church I'm at, we had one leadership team, and it was about a dozen people. And they were in charge of everything. I mean, everything. They had oversight over the building, the budget, personnel, every ministry in the church, any kind of planning, long-range planning, any kind of discipline issues. I mean, they had every task assigned to them. And as you can imagine, that didn't go well. That's kind of the history of our denomination now, that it's kind of set up like this. And what I found out was, even as we started to try to do some revitalization, whenever we met as a leadership team, 90% of what we talked about tended to be administrative. We were talking about the budget, we were talking about the building and our leaky roof, and we had to replace carpeting here, and we wanted maybe a new staff person, and this other ministry, we needed to find a leader for them. And so we spent an obscene amount of time doing like administrative kind of conversations and details. Now, administrative stuff is important. We had to do it, but that's all we did. So one of the first moves we said is, you know, we're never going to get anywhere with revitalization if we're never talking about like hands-on ministry stuff and long-range planning. Like when all we're talking about is paying the electric bill and, you know, carpeting in the children's area, we're going to be sunk. So one of the first things we did was we just sliced out a group of people and said, you're in charge of anything, building budget personnel. And the rest of us, we're going to be freed up to think about ministry, you know, how are we sharing the gospel? How are people maturing? How can we better build relationships? What does our worship ministry look like? How does that need to develop? Those sort of things. And that was a big move for us. That was really helpful. Then, as I mentioned during the lecture on mission, we reorganized into five areas and said, okay, instead of just here's 10 or 12 people just sitting around a room and nobody's really responsible for anything, kind of. And here's the thing, if everybody's responsible, nobody's responsible. So we needed to tack a name into different areas. And we said, okay, you folks, you're dealing with worship. You folks, gospel sharing, and so on. And so everything and every ministry fell under that. Every expense fell under those things. And so we were really focused on our mission and what we were going to do and kind of the, you'd say, like daily ministry operations. And that was a really important thing. One of the problems, though, we had with our group was in our bylaws of our leadership, we had changing leaders every 3 years. You would serve for 3 years, and you'd have to be off for 3 years. And so we kind of tweaked that a little bit, and finally we just said, this is just killing us, that just as soon as people are getting things going and moving in a good direction, they're off. And they want to stay on, and sometimes we didn't have a qualified or ready person to take their place. And so we were replacing gifted people with people who didn't have that same gift. Unwilling people, we were replacing very willing people. There was very little continuity. So we just said, okay, we need to create a new group of people who are our vision keepers. And so our leadership team said, we're going to appoint a group of people and they're going to help discern the vision and where we want to be in 3 years and 5 years. And they're going to be appointed by our leadership team, and they don't have term limits. They are just going to keep working forward in this direction and helping us stay on track. And we're not going to have all the turnover. And they were our best strategic thinkers. It was the most trusted people in our congregation. And they got elevated to this like highest level of like giving direction and oversight to the whole church. And we've made a bunch of other kind of thing changes, but that was really our big, some of the big shifts we have made. And then we started incorporating things like we have annual planning sessions into our calendar. We began to think structurally, how do we communicate? How does one team communicate with another team? How does the vision team communicate with our main leadership team? How does the admin team communicate with them? How do we communicate all this stuff to the congregation? What are the effective channels? How often do we need to be speaking to each other? How often do we need to meet? How often can we just do it by email? How often can we do this like just phone, teleconferencing, just calling in and meeting on the phones for 10 or 15 minutes instead of everybody driving into the church? So we restructured just a lot of things. And instead of just everybody getting minutes and things printed out and agendas, we did everything. We moved everything onto Google Drive. And so all shared folders. So now everything is done digitally. So we can access things and we can collaborate on documents. I mean, because now we had different teams. So all this came part of like structural change. And every change was to like, how can we do this better? How will this help us stay on task with our mission? How will this help us achieve our vision? How can we do this effectively and efficiently as possible? So we've had over the years like a number of like changes, and in some ways it's sort of stayed the same, but in some ways we're constantly changing, and we're thinking, you know, it would be better is if we did it this way. Just in last month, when we had a kind of an all church leadership meeting, we set out a new kind of schedule for the whole year, and these are the months when these people need to meet, and when these groups need to meet, and these are when they need to come together, and you know, so it's always a work in progress, but we're always getting better, and I can say we're always getting better and better at this whole thing of like organizing effectively. So that our energy is focused on fulfilling our mission by achieving our vision. Okay, so a couple just big takeaways for you here. Just kind of where would I encourage you to start? Okay, with an understanding of your mission. An understanding of the vision, or going back to the conversations of what are the first things, what's the first thing you want to do in revitalization, those different areas of church health and all that kind of stuff. We talked about, you know, what's the most pins, what's the areas the greatest need, all that kind of stuff. You know, factoring all that in and what, how you want to handle it and what you want to approach, then if you're doing that, how would you organize it? How would you organize your church, your ministry, if you could start from scratch? If you said, if we could just start with a blank piece of paper and just go from there, how would we do this in order to most effectively accomplish this? Like, well, I would set it up like this with this team with two teams under it. And I'd have, I'd be on this one, and I'd have two key leaders here, and I'd meet with them every, okay. So start thinking like that, and then thinking about how can you transition your current structure to do something more like that. Like, you know, obviously you want to have some kind of a biblical model of church leadership. We don't want to abandon this idea of pastors and elders and deacons and all those kind of things. But there's no reason to say that we can't, you know, be creative in how that's organized and how we and that we can't add other pieces into that. Okay? So I would just say, if you could start from scratch, what would be the most effective way? And so you can see that in this revitalization process, effective structures is going to come more towards the end of the beginning. Kind of once you move through all these kind of things, you're going to start to figure out, okay, I know what we want to do. We're all in agreement. Now let's set ourselves up for success. How can we do this well? Okay? And my guess is, if your people have been along with you in the journey, they're going to go along with organizational change. My folks have very easily, very well, because they were part of discovering the mission, right? And discerning a vision. They've seen all the assessments. They know what we need to do, what our challenges are. So as we talk about these things and changing structure, it's not like this sacred cow that it's like, well, we can't not have this, you know. Well, sure we can, because this is what we're trying to do. Okay? And then finally, this is really important, is matching responsibility with authority. So, for example, when we gave, when we split out the administrative team, it wasn't just you're in charge of this, like oversight of it, but it was like they were empowered to make decisions under a certain framework. You can do, you know, and then when they only had to really kind of report back quarterly, or if something of really out of the ordinary happened, something unusual that really required everybody else's attention. And so he said, you are empowered to do this, and then they went and they did it. When we set aside that vision team, the really kind of the highest level leadership team for the direction and the guidance, they were given a lot of authority. But they were also given some boundaries of like, they couldn't put the church in debt without asking our leadership team. you know, our main governing body. They couldn't hire staff without first coming back. But in terms of daily operations and starting ministries and stopping ministries, it was like they could do that, because there's nothing worse than giving somebody or a team or a committee a task to do, but no authority to do it, where they feel like their hands are tied up. And this happens in church all the time, where a committee will say something and then they're just told no by somebody else. And it's like, well, why did you ask me to do this? And it really stifles creativity. It stifles risk-taking. So if people have a responsibility to do something within your organizational chart, they need to have the authority to do it. And so they need to be empowered and given that. But I would say also within a healthy framework, not just, hey, blank check, do whatever you want, but you are empowered to do this within these boundaries. In our church, we talk about a sandbox. Like, here you have a really big sandbox, and you can do anything you want in that sandbox. You don't have to ask permission. You don't have to get the okay. If you want to do something outside the sandbox, then you need to ask. Then we need to talk about it. And maybe we'll do it. Maybe that's a great thing, but maybe not. But you can't just wander off on your own. So anyway, that's a little bit about structure. And I really hope that this is going to just help you think a little differently about how you're organized. And maybe you're like, we're not even organized at all. Maybe this will help you take the first steps. Or if you're just organized maybe poorly or ineffectively, this will help you think about reorganizing in a way that's going to help you be more productive and efficient. Okay, that's it for this lecture and the series on developing a model for ministry. And I'm going to pray for you, and I hope that God's going to work through you in wonderful and meaningful ways. Lord, we do thank you for this lecture, and Lord, I thank you for all the ways that you've worked through our church through structure and through changing things so we would be not stuck in the past and not stuck to the forms of tradition, but that we could think creatively, Lord, and we could organize around your purposes. And Lord, I pray for all my brothers and sisters who are going to be trying to do the same thing, and for Lord, just give them wisdom in what this should look like, and wisdom for their leaders who will be working through these systems. Lord, you are just so wonderful, and we just praise your name for all things and your faithfulness to us. Lord, we love you. Amen.